Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Not good enough in the first half, allowing them to be a two-dimensional offense when they hit us on some long runs.
Hand off to Robinson. Through a hole. 25-30 up the sideline. 40. And drag. No, he keeps his feet. And he is G-O-N-E gone. Bijan Robinson goes 81 yards for the touchdown.
You have to evaluate everything to make sure that, you know, we're looking in the right spots in terms of, you know, the coverages we're getting and the quarterback's progression overall. I could feel what you were saying in terms of it was too hard tonight on our quarterback. It doesn't need to be that hard all the time.
Back to pass, pumps, fires over the middle, and it's intercepted. It's picked off, and coming the other way is D. Alford. Back to pass, thinks about running, now doubles back to his left, looking for a receiver in the end zone, flings it, it's tipped at the line of scrimmage, and it's intercepted.
We're on the bye now. We've got to look at it. We've got to spend a lot of time looking at this thing and figuring out what's going on and fixing it.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Josh Allen sacked four times in this game. It's a lot for him. They get the touchdown first drive of the second half. And I'll say again, Atlanta didn't strike me as a team that knew what to do after that. You know, the Bills punch one of these lesser teams and they often buckle. But that might have even been the case last night, but the Bills could not do the next thing. Next possession ends on that Allen flick pass to Ty Johnson on fourth down.
That was a fourth down play. Yeah.
Then after that, caller just before brought up how Cook wasn't in the game after early in the fourth. He has a run to get them to third and one. Then it's that Elijah Moore play. And they punt after that fourth and five. They didn't have to punt there. There were a couple of those last night.
Right.
Another Atlanta punt. That followed the blocked field goal. Another Atlanta punt, three and out. They didn't have to punt either on fourth and two, but they do. Because they don't know what to do in these. They're not in these games.
Right.
And Bills go three and out. Another punt. And they really just... It's over after that. They couldn't get the stop on the long fourth quarter drive. They get the ball 1:43 left, but they're down 10. I think their odds are very slim at that
point. It's once they got that field goal, I mean, they staved that off for a while with the first one being blocked, which was probably the easiest field goal block of all time. I think, like, someone who's 5'5", who obviously no one's really playing football at 5'5", unless you're some really highly athletic running back, but could have just stuck an arm up. That ball was kicked so low. But still, they blocked it. Good. I don't know why you fall on the ball there. Whoever that was out there that fell on it, like, try to pick it up. Keep the play going. Like, maybe one of your team, if you can't pick it up, maybe one of your teammates can roll in there and pick it up, and you can get a cheap six.
Always. It's your ball anyway.
Right.
You know what's funny about that? Chris Fowler on the play-by-play said something. He's always screaming, but I don't want to scream. He said something like, the Bills trying to scoop it. And as he was saying that, somebody just landed on it.
Right. The guy just flung himself on the ball.
What was that?
There was no scoop attempted.
Yeah. No scoop attempted?
No.
Well, not a great night.
No, but the lights going out on the offense for the entirety of the second half following that third quarter, opening of the third quarter touchdown drive, was incredible to me. I already said earlier today, despite how it looked, how, you know, they're getting gashed on defense in the first half, London and Bijan are just going off. It's 21-7, 21-14. all right, this team is begging you to beat them. And the offense just could not put anything together there. And again, easy for me to say watching on TV, but that's not going to stop me. It wasn't that complicated what they were doing. They were just attacking the pocket and daring you to make a quick play. And the Bills just time after time after time could not do that.
Yeah, very weird.
That's
the New England game too. Like they did have the turnover. They had two last night as well, one late. But they did have the turnovers against New England. Still, like it did not. Nothing came really easy to them in that game. Different from the previous games, which were also close, but more I think about that they couldn't stop. I mean, New Orleans on the ground was that, but you know, let's get back to this game. Here's Andrew next. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was going to ask you why James Cook is always on the sidelines during crunch time, but you kind of addressed that. So I have a different question for you.
Okay.
You know, Bean gets credit for drafting Josh Allen, obviously, but it seems like this defense, and they did make adjustments in the second half, this defense can't tackle. And it's been a known problem for a while, and I think you guys have touched on this before. What are our thoughts? I mean, when we're at full strength, are we going to be able to tackle these running backs and make plays, or are we just too small?
Yeah, that's, I think, maybe as good a question about this season and where it's going as any. Are they just too small? I mean, this is – Bernard's not their biggest problem, but he's not – I mean, he's just not like all that.
He's not a huge solution right now. He's had a very rocky year, I would say. Now he's hurt day-to-day, whatever. It sounds like he could be back for the next game. But
his thing for me was always the plays. Like, he's a playmaker, and he did that in the Miami game. But – That's one aspect of it only. Secondary, Hairston, it's always been true. And he's not huge either, but it's not a question, not a point about size exactly. It's always been true the whole year. A lot rides on him. And we're six games in, and it's obvious that a lot rides on him. Rapp is just always late. He's getting our own guys hurt. Like, he's just, oh, here is he ever, well, I don't want to go too far, but like, it's always like dirty adjacent. It's late. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. He's not a fan favorite, I think, at this point. Bishop in and out. Benford gets hurt again and didn't miss a lot of time. I could name everybody. I don't need to. It's a good question. And how do you fix it?
Yep.
They're going to fix it with TJ Sanders. I don't know. Like,
right. Yeah, well, he's on
Milano,
IR.
But yeah, he's on IR anyway.
Yeah. They're, you know, you mentioned White. And, like, if you go back and watch there's a play, are we talking about fourth quarter? I can't remember where in the game. I could go find the game script and tell you. But I know it's second half. It's the play that Bosa you almost can't believe the pass ends up being complete. Bosa is so close to a sack on Penix that the ball comes out kind of wobbly, but it's Robinson in the flat by himself. There's no one near him. And that play, as it's unfolding, White is, I got to believe that's White's area, Tre'Davious White's area. There's a couple of receivers coming toward he and another player there. I can't tell right now whether it was a linebacker or a DB, but one receiver cuts into the middle of the field, and I think it is a DB, because there's a linebacker drifting toward that guy and another DB that are going there, and White goes anyway. Like, it's all in front of him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's all in front of him. He's looking at it. The play's coming right at him, and he bites on the guy going inside. Maybe it's London. I don't know, right? That might draw your attention after what he'd have done to you already in the game. But what White does is leave Robinson completely alone. There's no one else to help. There's no linebacker. It's the boundary. And that is not, like, Tre'Davious White playing zone defense on this team. Like, we know athletically he's not going to be capable of doing what he was doing for you 8 years ago anymore.
This right? was late. This was like 5 minutes left, maybe.
But you need a headier play there from a guy that is really you're counting on him being wily, right? Like, that's maybe the first thing on his business card now. Wily veteran. Because athletically, again, the injuries and age, it's just not, you're not going to get the high end plays. But him, to me, I don't know their scheme and their responsibilities, but it would stun me if he's supposed to chase a guy who's about, if he gets there, about to be triple covered into the middle of the field and leave another eligible receiver all alone in the flat. But that is what happens on that play. And that is the kind of mistake. If Max Harrison was playing, you might go, well, you know.
He's a rookie.
This is Tre'Davious White. He grew up in this system. To have that kind of a mistake is just, man, that's tough to watch.
If it's the play I'm thinking of, it's massive.
Yeah, it's a 23-yard gain.
23 yards on 2nd and 9 from their 30 at 4:47. Yeah. Penix, it's so easy from home to say these things, but Penix doesn't want to throw the ball into traffic in that spot. He's trying to, you know, survive this game. And, yeah, just dump it off just to the
really,
best player on the field.
Really
tough. Alone.
Really tough.
Devin's next. Hi, Devin.
Hey there. Good afternoon, guys. I'd like to make a point, and then I'd like to ask a question. So the point that I'd like to make is, Brandon Bean openly talks about at his season-ending press conference and the fact that your last game of the year, the reason for your loss will tell you what you have to do in the offseason. The reason the season has ended, in my opinion, the last 2 years, right, you have the ball in obvious passing situations against the Chiefs, and they're unable to advance the ball down the field to score a touchdown to win the game in an obvious passing situation. So, I never really understood his dunking on the morning crew. I never understood that. And then the question I'd like to ask, right, you guys already alluded to the fact that during the Allen era, they seemingly they'll lose 2 games in a row seemingly every year. They right the ship. They turn things around. So my question is, right, I think they're still the favorite to win the division.
Yep.
I think they're like, I think they're still minus 2,000 to make the playoffs. If this thing does flame out, let's say they win 9 games, they miss the playoffs, what does the offseason look like? Appreciate the time, guys.
Wow. That is just such a hard I still, as bad as it feels right now, want to say I would be stunned if they only won 9 games. We go through this every year. They find solutions. They do still have this incredible quarterback and maybe they'll make a move to augment what they're doing. I would say mostly on offense at this point. Receiver is right back up at the top of the list to me. We've been talking about it already for a few weeks. So I mean, I don't know. I think if you end up with a season like that, then nothing should be off the table. What I would say.
Yeah, me too, but I'm not ready to go there yet either, respectfully. Let's go to Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. The last caller kind of took the, flames out of my sails here. Like, well, I was basically going to say, how confident are you guys, just this game here, this is like a bigger picture thing, that Bean and McDermott could get this thing over the finish line? Because it's been 8 years. I mean, these past two drafts have been atrocious. And, like, I don't see – there's always something, and like they can't get over the hump. And I know people have said before too, Terry won't fire him, or if he did, Terry's not good with the Sabres and stuff. You guys don't think it'll be a line down Abbott of coaches or assistant coaches want to come in there and work with Allen? I mean, like, we can't be afraid of that part too, But like, I just feel like the scheme's outdated. I seem like the scheme's been going downhill for the past 2 years now. Like, something's got to give somewhere. Now, today he's saying he still got confidence in Brady, which is fine. I mean, it is what it is, but it's like there's no accountability for anything at all. It took forever to fire the special teams coordinator a couple years ago. Like, I just think it's time for a new voice. Baltimore's basically almost there, too, with Harbaugh. Just sometimes, eventually, you just need a reset. I appreciate everything that they've done for the organization, but at this point now – and it's not just about this past 2 weeks. I'm thinking about the future here. Because we're come to January, and it'll be something else. And eventually, it's just time.
Well, we just don't know that yet. This is a talk show, and I'm here to talk. There's no point in will they be fired after the season. It's not after the season. And they're still in pretty good shape. They're not perfect. They might even be quite imperfect, we're finding out. But there's not a lot they can do about it right now. And there's just no there for this. I have said when this question comes up, I don't want to just completely ignore it. And I say whenever it does, well, almost every time, like, I don't want to see the season end the same way, where they cannot get whoever it is off the field in the playoffs. I look at it more like their defense has cost them seasons than their offense. But you could say either. I don't know how I'm going to feel in January. Let's see what happens first. They're not dead, right? They're one of the meanest men in the valley, and they're not dead. So can we just sort of chill on who's getting fired, when, and why? Can we just do that? I'm just going to try to do that, even though I have a role here to engage in conversation about all this. I just want to kind of do that. It's not time yet. And they have lost, by the way, two games in a row every year since 1991. That's the last year where they didn't lose
that
two
far
games
back.
In
Thank
a row.
You for doing that. I got to like 2017 and stopped.
I'm exhausted from the research, but I did.
It's only Jermaine like, since McDermott's been the coach, and it's happened every year. Yeah, so
let's stand with the boys.
Like I don't know. I don't know if it's as if this feels like more of a crisis or less of a crisis or the same crisis as last year. You know, there certainly are familiar talking points about receivers getting open and the defense being exposed and the scheme being antiquated and all that. Like, I hear that. It was so easy for Atlanta yesterday in the first half, and then it wasn't. And, like, I don't know. Is that Atlanta? Did they, you know, flip a switch? Did they think they should get credit for the Drake London touchdown at the end of the half that didn't count and they were really up by three scores, not two? I don't know, but they could not move the ball anymore, and the game was just lying there for the Bills to take. So it's another one of these nights where if you watch the first half and got mad and turned it off, you're mad about how the defense played. And then if you stayed with it, you're probably pretty frustrated like I am about the offense, because all I did was stop them the rest of the night, and I got exactly one more touchdown, which, I mean, I still kind of can't believe it. As tough as it was at times, and it felt like the game was almost completely out of hand because of that London play at the end of the half that didn't end up counting, like, I thought they were going to win the game. 21-14 to open the third quarter, like, come on.
I kind of did, too.
You're Buffalo, they're Atlanta, just do this.
I kind of did, too, because of how stupid it would have been.
Right.
To win after that first half. Like, they're a couple of feet away from 28-7, and everything looks terrible. Offense, everything looks terrible. Right. Allen's getting hit. Guys are going down one after another. Poor Bernard. I don't know when this was right now, but he goes down grabbing his ankle, and here comes Rapp, who lands right on his knee. Like, oh, it's like the Black Knight in the Holy Grail or something. Poor Bernard is like, no, I'm already hurt. Get off me.
And at one point, it seemed like they almost had a line waiting outside the blue tent.
The line at the blue tent.
McGovern got hurt. Allen got hurt. Like, it was just like, what in the hell is going on?
This was so stupid that they would probably win. That's what I'm thinking, too. Like, this is probably going to be a win. And, yeah, I mean, one touchdown, no field goals, no points after that, which is unusual for them. Ken is next. Hi, Ken.
How you doing, guys? Great radio today.
Thanks.
I got Ajidu big time, and it has to do with game planning and Joe Brady. Let me tell you, Atlanta has been blitzing every team they've played since the start of the season, and we had no answers for it at all. It's like we had no plan for that, to answer it. The use of Cook and the non-use of Cook, I reflect back to Kansas City in the playoffs last year. He didn't touch the ball for the last 11 offensive plays of the Bills, okay? And when Bulldog, I think, said at the 11-minute mark of the fourth quarter, he never touched the ball again, yet he was averaging 5.1 yards a carry, okay? And then finally, there's Josh Allen. I wonder if the C on his jersey stands for captain or clueless. And I'll tell you why, because he is not talking to his offensive lineman. He's not talking to his receivers. He's sitting there by himself. They kept on showing him just sitting by himself, and he had the exact same look on his face with everybody I'm watching the game with. Thought of the Cincinnati game in the playoffs a couple of years ago where Diggs lets into him and basically tells him, get your blankety-blank together. And, you know, he was clueless on this. And by himself, no engagement with other players. And I think of Brady, I think of Jim Kelly, I think of all the other great quarterbacks. When the chips were down, man, they were engaged with their whole offensive team. I never saw that from John. I was very disappointed. And I want to hear what you guys have to say, and great radio again today, guys.
Thank you. I don't have anything on that. I don't want to assume that I know all the things that are happening on games when they show Allen for like 3 seconds at a time on the bench. So I've got nothing on that. I also don't really care that James Cook didn't play the last 11 plays. The game was over at 24-14. There are 7 plays after that. I don't care who plays after that, down 10 with 1:40 left. So to me, that's sort of low. It makes the argument harder. Just like, I don't need that. It's 4 plays.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Prior to Atlanta's long drive that ends in the field goal that basically ends it, there's a sack. It's Johnson. They're down 7 in the middle of the fourth quarter. He's who they use for that. That can be a complaint. That's a reasonable criticism. But it's one play, and then it's Elijah Moore, nope, and it's a punt. And that's the end of it. Like that's the ball game. They couldn't get the stop. The Trey White play is more important to me than anything pertaining to James Cook. So that's my take on it. I don't really care that he didn't play the end of the game in Kansas City either. Like, just, I think you saw a running back last night that some of you think Cook is, and it wasn't him. I think if you had the other guy last night, now talk to me about whether he's on the field at the end of games. Cook is fine. That guy is what, I mean, we got the one caller who calls all the time to compare Cook to OJ. Right, you see the other guy last night? I mean, that's what elite looks like. I'm no offense to Cook. He's fine. They've won a lot. He's done great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not better than that. So I don't care that he didn't play. And 11 plays is like, now you're really trying to push me, because the last bunch of those plays didn't really matter. They're down 10.
7 of them don't. That's right. Yeah. And yeah. So, but does that line up with, I saw 11 minutes or something. So that
it's 11 minutes.
It lines up. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. 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 I said earlier, like, I appreciate that Johnson is in the role he's in for a reason, but it is not working this year. And you may want to consider, be careful. I'm the one who will tell you, don't play Cook too much. Load management matters. He is not a big, thick dude that can just take pounding. But, you know, so far so good, and he's avoided big hits. Maybe you need to not worry about his flaws in pass protection and get him out there so that you can just throw the ball out, you know, just on a swing pass, on a wheel, on something that can beat that blitz. And then you've got a guy in the open field who might be able to do something for you. Ty Johnson is not happening this year. His numbers are horrible.
Yeah, and that's fair too. Get Cook in space, at least, you know. He doesn't have to be Bijan. He can be better than Johnson. He's got 14 targets in 6 games. Cook. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after sports. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.